1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Did you do anything exciting today? No? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 13. Do you believe Jesus is coming again? You better, because you sang about it all evening. The reason I remind you of that is I wasn't... this message tonight, I was just like, I don't know. And then every song was like, Jesus coming again, and we threw in a yonder here and a yonder there, and then, oh, glorious day, and maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Like, okay, I get it. I'll preach it. So we're going to talk about Jesus is coming again. All right. That's perfect because that'll go great with my illustration. Keep your frowns on your face. It'll be good. But 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13. If you're there, say, I got it. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. For you sorrow not even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I like that, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Verse 1 of chapter 5, but the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when ye shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail upon a woman with a child, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I like these words here. Who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Watch the word again. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We'll title this tonight, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you that we're able to gather here on this night. On this night, God, this very important night. Lord, we know that there's a lot on our minds. But Father, tonight I pray as we zero in, we focus in on your word. Help us to see the possibility. The possibility that you could, well, you could come. It may be 100 years from now. It may be 10 minutes from now. We don't know that. But God, help us to live in the present as if it's coming soon. We've sang about it. Now, may we search our hearts to see if in our minds it really would be a glorious day for you to come. Draw us to you, I pray, through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. You're just doing that, so I'll stop. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Now, I need to start over. I need to start over because you're messing it up. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you are. And the reason I need to start over is because I'm worried about the guys back there in the little sound step booth thingy. We'll call it a sound room, but it's kind of a sound step. So it's I'm worried about those guys. And the reason I'm worried about those guys is they are... I'm really worried about them now because they're waving the Michigan number one finger at me. I don't know if that means I have a minute left or what that means. But I'm really worried about them because they put CDs together and this will go on the World Wide Web and all that, and it'll go out, and they're going to title that. They're going to say, Jesus is coming again, is what they're going to do. And the reason I'm worried about them is because I'm not back there with them. I don't know how they're going to punctuate that. I'm a little worried about how they're going to write it. What should they do? Well, maybe they should wait. Maybe they should wait and see what the message is. Because there's some choices they have when it comes to punctuation. Jesus is coming again. And they could do ? They could do that, right? Jesus is coming again? And so they could put on there a ? So you might be thinking, well, maybe they should put a ? We got to help these guys out. Because they got to punctuate right at the end of it. So if you looked at the title of the message and you're searching online, you would say, Jesus is coming again ? Maybe I'll click and listen to that because, wait, he doesn't know? No, he doesn't know for sure. Or maybe there's a guy back there, he's like, Jesus is coming again, and he's like, that's it, period. It's period. It's like, that's all. Coming again. Maybe they put periods on all of them. I don't know. But maybe it's not a ? For them back there. Maybe it's a period. Jesus is coming again. Well, that's it. Period. Next sermon. Click the next link and you can move on. Well, maybe there's not only that. Maybe there's a comma. Jesus is coming again, comma. Or they would do the ... thing where they would punctuate it. Jesus is coming again, comma. And guess what else? I'm worried about those guys. I'm worried about them because a lot goes into the punctuation here, doesn't it? And not only that, we would say that maybe they're so excited about it back there with a little Michigan number one finger. Maybe they're so excited back there, they're like, ! Jesus is coming again. Maybe they're not a ? Maybe they're not a comma. Maybe they're not a period. Maybe it's Jesus is coming again. That's why I kept saying Jesus is coming again. And finally you got tired of me saying it. And you're like, yeah, he's coming. So a good title maybe is not Jesus is coming again. Maybe the good title would be Jesus is coming again. What's your point? You mean their point? No, I mean yours. Yours? Mine? Wait a minute. What did you just do? Yeah, Jesus is coming again. I said it. You believe it? Well. In this room tonight, do you know? Jesus is coming again. There are people. I don't know. Jesus is coming again. Yeah, I'm not real sure about it. Kind of, maybe not. It doesn't really affect my day much. I'm not really certain. There are people that believe he might. There are songs that we sing that he might. And I know the words to the song, and I've heard preacher talk about it before, but I don't really know if he's coming. It's been a long time since he's been here, so I don't know if he's really coming. And so the question would be, well, it's like Jesus is coming again. Your point would be, I don't know. Be transparent with you. I lived a lot of my life like this. Not that would he come or not. I got that. Because if I can buy Jesus Christ can save me, I can buy the rest of the Bible. And so when it came to the idea of Jesus coming again, it was like, yay. And what I mean by that is, I remember when I was saved as a teenager, I would hear people talk about Jesus coming again, and I promise you there was parts of my heart that would say, that's great, but I'd really like to graduate. And I also remember when I got into college, that people would say, Jesus is coming again, and I thought, good, but I need to graduate again. And then after I got through Bible college, and after I got through all of that, I went a little crazy over a little redheaded girl, and I thought, man, I'd really like to marry her. And people would say, Jesus is coming again. I thought, okay, I trust that'll be after the wedding, right? I trust he'll wait till after the wedding. And then you have a wedding, and you know what? After that, you've got to have kids. You have kids, and I remember being married and hearing preachers say, Jesus is coming again, and I would think, I want to have kids. And then I had a son, and I'm thinking, Jesus is coming again. And I thought, but he's got to grow up. And then he needs a graduation. And then he's got to grow up, and I'm going to be a grandpa. Listen, I'm average at this dad thing, but I'm going to be awesome as a grandpa. I am. I'm going to be the man as a grandpa, I'm telling you. I want to mess them things, little fellers up, and send them home. That's what I'm going to do. I want to do that. But I'm going to be the man when it comes to being grandpa. So my point is, I spent a lot of my life like kind of like Jesus coming again, like, okay, that's fine. And I had a friend, and my friend Keith, he was one of these. You ever been around one of these? When it comes to Jesus coming again, and it's like, I remember one night we were driving home from basketball practice. We had a game the next day, and we were driving home from basketball practice, and the sky looked all crazy yellow. And Keith would just, it wasn't like he would go down the hall with the family Bible or anything and shout repent. But he was just good at weaving the Bible into everyday life. And we were driving home that night, and Keith said, wouldn't it be a great time for Jesus to come? And I went, I did. I was like, wouldn't it be a great time if Jesus would come? So I got Keith over here going, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Maybe it's just me. But I thought for a long time that would really interrupt my life. And you get around people that are, I remember specifically thinking, man, Keith, we're playing a bad team tomorrow. I'm going to go berserk. I'm going to score like crazy on the basketball court tomorrow night. I can't have Jesus coming tonight. I mean, have you ever thought in an honest moment that maybe you're not this, but in an honest moment you're more this? It's not that you doubt that it's happening. It's that you get so caught up in what's happening here that it would mess up and change so much here. I'm not asking you what their point is. I'm asking you what your point is. Because when we say Jesus is coming again, there are many of us in here tonight, in an honest moment, we would say, I get it, but I understand that he's coming. I buy that. I believe that. But if he does, there's so much left to do. And there are those of us in here that's a comma. It's like, okay, Jesus is coming again, but in this. And there are other people who are the other extreme. There are periods where it says, Jesus is coming again, so I'm not even voting today. Because he's coming again anyway, and there's nothing we can do about it. Is that what we should do? And so I say to you, Jesus is coming again. And truth be told, you have not thought about him coming at all today. I have, only because I'm preaching about it. But I can tell you this, I don't think about it much other than that. And so when we stand up here and sing, and my man Stephen's up here leading you, coming again, and we're like, coming again, you're coming again, all that. And it's like, okay, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe. And it's all, and the glorious day and all that. And you read the words to the songs about the rapture and the bliss and how awesome it's going to be and how great it's going to be. But there's something in all of us, in our hearts, it's our point. And in this room tonight, there's all different points. You believe that? There's a lot of different points tonight. And as we think about our lives tonight, and what's frustrating tonight is I've been all these points when it comes to the rapture of the church. I've been all these. When I think about my life and I think about where I've been, I've had times where it's like, yeah, I'm doing good. You come now, Jesus. Right? You want him to come when you're having a good time. You haven't been in traffic in a while. You know what I mean? You're doing good. And so then there's this other times where I'm like questioning, where it's like sometimes life stinks. But you know what? Sometimes this world is pretty beautiful. It is. So let's not lie to ourselves and say, stand up here and say, yeah, Jesus is coming again. I'm out of here, man. There's things that I love about here. But what's your point? So you see, what they would have to do is they'd have to choose for themselves. What you would have to do, you'd have to examine your own heart and ask yourself the question, what is my point? Is that something I'm really looking forward to? And what if it did happen tonight? I say a great night for it to happen. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? You're like, no! I already voted! Come on! We got this one. No, we're going to do it. And it's like, no, 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 no. And he just changes it. Like, boom. And it's like everything now is, could that happen tonight? I believe biblically it could. It could. I wouldn't be mad. You mad? You mad about that? Well, but inside, deep in our hearts, is there something in us that would say, we would question that. So Paul is, he's talking to this group of believers, and he's telling them, number one, that Jesus is coming for his church. Jesus is coming for his church. Yeah, if you're not saved, you don't need to be stressing about leaving in the rapture. The rapture is for prepared people. Prepared people. So Jesus is coming for his church. Look at verse number 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and sorrow not even as others have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so which them are asleep. For this will God will bring with him. Verse 16. For the Lord himself. I like that. He's not sending for us. He's coming for us. He's coming for us? Yeah, what are we going to do? We're going to be caught up, verse number 17. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So we're going to be caught away speedily. It means to claim for one's own self, to move to a new place, to rescue from danger is what it's going to be. He's going to call us out of here. And in this place, in this time in Thessalonica, they believed that death was the end. Even on their gravestones, they would put no hope. After this, it's over. In other words, after you live, period. So Paul was speaking into a culture that believed that that was all. And now here he was talking to them about, number one, about resurrection. Resurrection, it says, for we believe that Jesus died, even so when which are asleep, and Jesus will God bring with him, then they which are alive and remain. So number one, we have resurrection. Paul speaks of death as sleep. So he says the people that have died are going to be resurrected. That's just the look I got, I'm just telling you. Going to be resurrected. So when the trump sounds, graves are going to burst up. What? What is that? Resurrection. Listen. Resurrection. You know how everybody has a crazy uncle? I have several. But I had a crazy uncle. And he believed the rapture of the church was going to take place. He'd predict dates and all the time. And he would go to the cemetery in his lawn chair and sit at the cemetery in his lawn chair and wait for the rapture of the church. Now, as crazy as that is, it's also, if you think you're going, when it takes place, that would be kind of a wild place to be, wouldn't it? Right? I always say I want to be going up for a layup when it happens. Because I always wanted to dunk. See what I did there? I always wanted to be able to, but because when we're called up, see, those of you who can dunk, you don't understand. And so when we're called up, but there's resurrection that takes place. He says death. Isn't it funny how he talks about death as sleep? Remember Jesus said, they said, hey, Lazarus, your friend Lazarus has died and he's asleep. And then finally, after being so frustrated, Jesus said, okay, he's dead, but I'm going to wake him. You don't wake up dead things, do you? Yeah, I do. Remember the little girl who they were mourning and they had all these people around mourning and he's like going in there like, I'm going to wake her up. You want to wake her up. It's resurrection, man. So there's resurrection that takes place. And then verse number 16, we have rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's resurrection, then there's rapture. So those that have already died, well, there's a resurrection that takes place. And then right immediately, there's those that are alive and remain, there's rapture. There's rapture. Pastor Tracy, you deserve a sticker. You are with me. There's rapture. So you'd say, but I have a ball game. You would say, you know how long we planned the wedding, Ryan? I'm serious. That's the thoughts I had for a long time. You know what I've got going on, man? Everything's good. Everything's wonderful. And so you're going to, okay, we got resurrection. We have rapture. Here's an even better part. We have reunion. Reunion, what's that? It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? Those that have been resurrected. So what Paul says is the people who have died or, quote, fallen asleep, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up where? Together. Now watch this. Together with them in the air to meet with the Lord in the air. And so shall we, everybody say we, ever be with the Lord. There is reunion. So shall we, those that have died and those who are caught up, shall be together forever with the Lord. So every Christian funeral you've ever been to, you're going to be with those people again. You're going to be with them. So you're going to be with them together forever. Where? With the Lord. And then, so Paul would be thinking what you and I are thinking right now. It's like, I don't know, what's the point? What's my point in all this? Paul says, comfort yourselves. Whoa. Okay, grave bursting open guy. Okay, those that are dead are really asleep, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up. Paul says, here's what I want you to do with all that. I want you to comfort each other. How often in church do we comfort each other with Jesus' coming? How often are you around Christians that say, yeah, it's bad, but man, Jesus could come right now. Sometimes I got to look up my friend from high school and just be comforted by the fact that he's looking. He's looking. So, number one, Jesus is coming for his church. And then we know, according to chapter 5, Paul jumps into this and says, but at the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write in you. So Paul says, now that I said this to you, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in a room with charts and calculators, and you're going to write books, aren't you? That's what you're going to do. You're going to make movies, you're going to predict dates, and you're going to have a mega church and everything. He says, don't do that. He says, at the time it's going to happen, you have no need that I write unto you. I would say, come on. Why won't you tell us? For yourselves know that in the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. So he says, he's going to talk about how we should be ready the day of the Lord, when the time when the Lord will judge the world and punish the nations. We are children of light, is what Paul says. Why are we children of light? Because we follow the light of the world. Because we walk in light. Because we cast off darkness. Paul says that we are to be watchful. Why? Because no one knows the day or time it will happen. And that's better, isn't it? No one knows the day or the time or the hour. And Paul says, but those of us who walk in light, that shouldn't stress us out. That should cause us to be watchful. It should cause us to always be looking, saying, you're children of light, children of day. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. So Paul's making a distinction between those who believe and know this to be true and those who are putting their hopes down here. Listen, if your hope is in the White House, your hope is not high enough. It's not. It's not. And as much as we would put our hope in that candidate, or as much as we put our hope in this thing happening, as much as we put our hope in, if this doesn't work out, if this doesn't, listen, the hearts of the kings are in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever soever he wants it to go. And what I want us to be encouraged tonight about is the fact that watchful includes prayer and repentance. Now, what do we do with all this? What do we do with Paul saying that Jesus is coming again and there's rapture and there's reunion and there's resurrection and he's coming for his church one day, and one day he's coming with his church and he's going to come back and set up his kingdom, and the Prince of Peace is going to come one day. And that's when there will be peace, when the Prince of Peace comes. And when he comes. But tonight as we sit here, I want us to focus on the point of all that. Not mine, yours. Because you may be sitting here even right now thinking, man, I don't know what's going to happen, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen eventually. Jesus is going to come. He is. He's coming. He's coming. Now, if that happens in our lifetime, okay, that's cool. If it doesn't, it's going to happen eventually because the Bible says it's going to happen. And see, there are different beliefs on this. There's pre-tribulation people, there's mid-tribulation people, there's post-tribulation people, and that we don't have time to get into all that, but the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath. I like that he said that, don't you? So we're not appointed to wrath. I have Robin's cousin, her husband believes that we're going to go through the tribulation period. I'm like, you should not refer to our family get-togethers as a tribulation period. I'm like, it's just not nice. But he says, we'll go through the tribulation period, and we're going to have that. I said, you can believe whatever you want, but I am out of here when he calls me out of here is what's going to happen. So you could say, well, I believe it's going to be mid-tribulation. I believe we're going to go through the tribulation. I believe we're not going to go through. Here's what we can all agree on. He's coming. He's coming. And so the question that we would have to answer for ourselves is what is the point of all that? What is the point of all that? Because Robert McShane used to ask people, do you think Jesus will return today? Most would reply, no, not today. McShane would reply, then you better be ready. The Bible says in an hour you think not. And so you don't hear a lot about this anymore because our schedules are so full down here, right? And we got so much going on right here that we forget that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this country, what it needs more than that guy or that gal, this country better repent. We have to repent is what we have to do. So to hit our knees, and this is the result of our revolt against God, I'm surprised that we're surprised at the result of a godless society. I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised that we're surprised at what we got. Jesus is coming again. What's your point? Teenagers, I'll say it in your language. What's your emoji? Get it? What's your emoji? What's that? It's a smiley. Is it a smiley? What is it? It is when you come to think about he may be coming tonight. Now listen. If he really is coming, there's a few things we can't delay. Number one, we can't delay salvation. Because it could happen at any moment. Number two, we can't delay surrender. Because it could happen at any moment. In an honest moment as we circle and get ready to land here, are you genuinely looking forward to his coming? I'm not talking about finally warming up to the idea of it on the third verse of a Baptist hymn. I'm talking about the idea that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus could set all this straight. All of it. And I used to get nervous too when people would stand and say, I hope he comes tonight. And I would think, man, I got so many family members that aren't ready for him to come. And they'd stand up and say, I want him to come today. And I'm thinking, right? And when you're around people that are all, yeah, he's coming, you're like, okay, but we got things to do, and we got things we need to happen for. And so listen, when he comes, but listen, it says in an hour that you think not, and he'll set up his kingdom. And listen, that's what we pray for. His kingdom come, his will be done. On earth, how? As it is in heaven. Jesus is king. And he will not serve a four-year term. He will serve a forever term. And I promise you tonight, folks, I promise you tonight is the one. Because there's people tonight. I'm telling you, there are people that will walk out of this church and you will not sleep tonight. And you ought to lay your head down, because the Bible says in Psalms, He gives me rest and gives me sleep. Because we are ultimately going to stand before Him, and we are in His hands as Christians. I refuse to go to the Baymont Hotel over there and pace the floor tonight. Because I really shouldn't be in the hallway at night over there. I really should. Because I'm a Buckeye, I think there's cameras. But I don't want to be running around. And so I refuse. I refuse to pace the floor. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going on. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not. Because Jesus could come again. I'm not. So I don't want Him to come while I'm stressed out pacing the floor. I didn't know. Oh, you really did come. I was excited. I had the exclamation point. Yay. He's like, no, you wasn't. And so I refuse to do that. So I refuse to have the common think, okay, Jesus is coming again, but what else? What's bigger than that? Or that I would just be, Jesus is coming, period, and I should lock myself up and hope that it happens quick. Because this place is going down and down fast. Listen, what Christians have to do is come to the point of, we've got an exclamation point that at any moment, in the moment and twinkling of an eye, that He could come again. You understand that, guys? You might not have to go to college. Right? You might not have to. You might not have. My friend Keith used to say, he would turn to us sometimes in math class, and he would say, we've got a test coming. He'd say, ha! Jesus might come for the math test. Like, you are really strange, pal. And then you would be thinking, I'm going to fail this math test if Jesus don't come. Wouldn't it be great if we just made it part of everyday vocabulary? That when you're really stressed out, you could just say, you know what? He could come today. Now, even if He doesn't come after us, we'll have to deal with the death thing, won't we? So, barring the rapture of the church taking place, you're not getting out of this world alive. 10 out of 10 people die. Did you know that? And so, because that's going to happen, you say, well, I don't believe in the rapture of the church. Well, you better believe you're going to face God one day. You are. And so there's such confusion tonight, and so many people walking around like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I know how big this is. You don't have to come up to me and say, Ryan, this is so big. You don't understand. This is generations ahead, and all the things we've got to decide between and pray about. And I'm thinking on Facebook, and I got people that are driving me crazy on Facebook and everything. Like, wouldn't it be great if we had a little machine that told us who they voted for? Well, we do. Here's who. And you know, it's like, wouldn't that be awesome if we just knew? We do, don't we? We do. And so you go through there, and it's like, you better do this, and if you don't do this, this will happen. You better do this, and if you better not do that, or this will happen. And I'm thinking, when did Jesus get so small? And it is possible that we have voted for a president today and have yet to bow to a king. Do you know that? I believe with all my heart that God's will ultimately will get done. Don't you? I do. But I don't think that leaves me to take my hands off things. And that I don't believe in, people say, do you believe in the sovereignty of God or responsibility of man? And I always answer, yes. I believe in both. But listen, church, Jesus is coming again. And if he's, as a follower of Christ, that's what we're talking about, is following Jesus. As a follower of Christ, we got to ask ourselves, how are we going to punctuate that? Because the point is the point. Because whatever the point is how you're going to live your life. Whatever the point is, young person, is how you're going to decide. How you're going to make decisions. Adults, whatever your point is how you're going to rest or not rest tonight. It all goes back to the point. The point is the point. You understand what I'm saying? That's the point. You say, Ryan, stop saying it. No, it is. It's the point. Whatever your point is going to be the way you carry yourself through this mess. If your point is an exclamation point that he's coming again and going to fix all this in the end anyway, then I can rest in who he is. I can rest in that. But if I've always got a question mark, I don't even know if I really want him to come. Then in your life, that will flow out of your life. And you'll be stressed out. Amen? I'm telling you, the point is the point. Jesus is coming again. You know what would be a good idea tonight? It'd be a good idea tonight for us to examine our point. And once we figure that out, it would be a good idea for us tonight to bow to the King. Because I believe he's ultimately always in charge, don't you? Heads bowed, eyes closed. You see, the point is your point. That's the point. Jesus is coming again. What's your point? Yeah, you hear a sermon like this, you hear songs like these. Is there something in you that says, okay, I get that. But does that come out in your everyday life, that Jesus is coming again? Wouldn't it be awesome? Pastor Tracy and I were talking about this earlier. Wouldn't it be awesome if we spoke half as much about Jesus as we have these candidates? Wouldn't it be awesome if we filled our social media feeds with the King? I know it's a stressful time. It's a pressure-filled night. But I'm telling you, when we wake up in the morning, I can promise you who the King will be. It'll still be Jesus. He'll still be on the throne. I'll tell you a great verse is in Revelation 4. John says he saw a throne, and here's what he said, and one that sat upon it. I like that. There's just one. Tonight I want to encourage you, before we do the hand raise thing and all that, this is a unique night. It's a big night. We know that. I think we need to stop telling Christians to pray, and I think Christians should just pray. You know that? I think tonight would be a good night. We'll do this a little different tonight, but as we get a song ready here and the piano plays, would you, right now, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, let's get serious tonight about our point. And the point is the point. You're here tonight, man, you just want to hit your knees to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight. I know we've cast our ballot for a human being, but they're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. This country has to repent. That's what we got to get serious about sin. That's why we're going down the drain, is we're not serious about sin anymore. So right now, all over this place, even before we sing, would you slip out of your seat right now and come down this altar and fall down before the King and say, God, regardless of what happens at midnight tonight, I'm certain of one thing. You're going to reign tomorrow morning. You're going to be reigning tomorrow morning. You're going to be reigning while they're counting the votes. You're going to be on the throne. And God, if Jesus is truly coming again, that ought to flow out of my life. It ought to flow out of my life on an everyday basis. I refuse to be so stressed out about all this. It doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I know who the King is. God bless you. Many are coming. You don't have to come to this altar and pray. You can pray right where you are. But listen, we have to turn our eyes upon Him. We have got to stop looking so low for our help. Our help is in Him. He's our King. God bless you. Come on.
Let's all stand. Brother Steve will lead us in this song. I would add one thing as Brother Ryan was speaking, and many of you have come to the altar. The passage that came to my heart was in 1 John, where John talked about, he tells us to abide in Christ, and that when he shall appear, when he's going to appear, we can have confidence and not be ashamed before Christ at his coming. The word ashamed means embarrassed. It means red-faced. And the thought that I want to share is just simply that maybe you're here tonight, and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest. If Jesus were to come back now, I'd be ashamed of the way I'm living. I'd be ashamed of some things that are in my life. Friend, I encourage you right now, you've heard a great message, very pointed message of the importance and the value and the comfort that is in the coming of Christ. So we'll sing a verse or so, and maybe you'd like to respond. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I really think I'm where I need to be. But I have somebody on my heart tonight that really isn't where they need to be spiritually. They're out of the will of God. I really believe that as their friend, and I just want to come to the altar and pray for them. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Let's sing.